Welcome to the Cheapskate Show. On today's episode, we cut the cable TV cord so we could save money on TV. But now the streaming services are jacking up their prices. Have no fear, we've got plenty of tips for saving money on streaming. Plus, it's a battle royale between two new super cheap wearables, the Amazfit Bip S and the Wyze Band. Which one deserves a spot on your wrist? I'm Rick Broida, Senior Commerce Editor, but better known as the Cheapskate. Joining me, as always, is a man who believes cord cutting is something you do with an axe in the forest. It's Dave Johnson. Hello, cord cutting man.
Hey, Rick. So if you stream TV in the forest, can anybody actually see it?
If a streaming service jacks up its prices, will Twitter yell about it?
Yes, the answer to that is a resounding yes.
Resounding yes. Yeah, so, Dave, is there anything that you and I really enjoy more in this world than television?
No. I think really it comes down to which particular streaming service we like better, and I think that is whichever one has more science fiction at any given moment.
Which one's got all the Star Trek and the Firefly and the Battlestar Galactica? That's where we're putting our money.
Exactly.
In the news last week, maybe the week before now, was that YouTube TV was raising its prices yet again. I think that's the second time this year. And they went from $50 a month to $65 a month, Dave, which is, I'm not a math guy, but that's 30%. That's a 30%
more,
increase.
And as mathematicians like to say, that's more. But wasn't YouTube TV supposed to be the cheap one?
It was. I mean, I think initially it was maybe $40 a month, which was pretty competitive relative to some of the others, but they raised their price. ESPN raised their pricing, and Fubo, which sounds made up, but apparently it's a real service. I don't know anybody who uses Fubo, also raised their prices. So three big services had price hikes in just the last couple of weeks, which really kind of makes everybody go, what? We got rid of cable so prices wouldn't keep going up. Like, what the heck?
I have two thoughts. One is, Rick, YouTube made a FUBU. And the second thing is, nobody should be streaming or watching live TV. Yes, we all have our Netflix or our Amazon or our Hulu or what have you, but YouTube TV, ESPN, FUBU, we don't need it. What is so important on live TV that you have to have it?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, we're kind of making fun of it in a way, but it's also a really good question. You know, everybody has different preferences when it comes to this stuff. But I think, you know, we all come from, or at least most of us, anyone over the age of 25, comes from having a subscription to cable TV and having access to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of live channels all the time and whatever. So when we go looking at streaming, we're looking for a replacement for that. You know, we want to still be able to have that experience of just switching on Comedy Central or Food Network or whatever and just watching whatever is on.
It's funny that you say that because I, as you know, I am many times older than you.
Many.
And I don't have that experience. When I sit down to watch television, and this has been true for years because I cut cable years ago, I have no expectation of flipping channels. That's really not something I've ever really wanted to do. I have a destination in mind. I am sitting down because I'm going to watch I'm Not Okay With That, or I'm going to sit down and watch Dark or whatever. And that's my intent. I'm not just going to flip around and see if there's a Seinfeld rerun on somewhere.
Well, I will say you were ahead of your time in that respect because I know you cut the cable TV cable many moons ago. But my point is that I think the reason that so many people gravitate to, you know, YouTube TV and Sling and Hulu with live TV is that they're just accustomed to that experience, and so they think they need to recreate that experience. But as you mentioned, I think it's time to stop that and time to rethink really how you want to consume television, because the best way to save money on these services is to get rid of them. You know,
oh, for sure. Yeah, things. You get rid of streaming, you're saving $50-$60 right off the bat. And
yeah,
again, I think I keep saying streaming. What I mean is to get rid of live TV.
Exactly. Those are the pricey services. Those are the ones that are going to kill you. Recently on Twitter, I asked my followers what reason they have for even wanting live TV to begin with. And the number one answer by far was sports. So people like their sports. They want to be able to stream sports. So I get that. The second one was news. So let's talk about news real quick first. Just being able to stream news is, to me, a silly reason to have a live TV streaming service. Dave, how do you get your news?
From everywhere else. There is no shortage of news available. I can't imagine sitting down in front of a TV to watch it because I can go to the CNN website and read the news or see video clips about the news I'm interested in. I think getting a prepackaged 30-minute thing of news from Headline News or CNN or whatever via live TV is a very 19th century way of thinking about the world. We're simmering in news all the time now, don't you think?
I absolutely do. And you actually know me very well that I like to keep my head as far wedged into the sand as possible. I do not watch news in any shape or form. What little I get, I will get online. I'll get via little headlines that pop up on Twitter or what have you. But I'm going to just throw out the probably semi-unpopular opinion that just turn off the news, people. I mean, just turn, not the news people, but the news.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, Rick, because you only found out about the pandemic like 10, 12 days ago. So that's not a good route. But I do think that you can get all the news you want from the web, streaming on your phone, or listening to podcasts. There's so many ways to get it. You don't need to waste money on live TV.
Right. And just circling back to what we were saying about the way people are accustomed to consume, people have cable TV, they just throw, CNN or whatever on in the background, and they just kind of have it on all the time, which I think is just incredibly toxic. But if you really like to have your kind of network news, you can get that for free from a number of different sources. One I want to definitely mention is called Pluto, and the address for that is Pluto.tv. And that has quite a lot of free channels, free streaming channels, many of which arguably you've never heard of, and many of which don't have the most exciting content in the world. But they actually have CBS News. In fact, several CBS News channels available streaming 24/7. They have a few others as well that I won't mention because they're competitors. Okay. But they're there. So if that's how you like to have news, you can get it for free.
Speaking of free, why don't we talk about the antenna option? Because there are situations where you can actually pull in live TV over the air.
Absolutely. So if you like your local channels, and in fact, this is one of the big dings about some of the streaming services, is that they don't include all or any of the local affiliate CBS, ABC stations and so forth. But you can get those again on your TV for free just by plugging in an inexpensive antenna. Depending on where you live will dictate how strong the signals are, but you should be able to get local channels that way. And that fills in that gap again for almost no money.
If you live outside of town, it's probably not going to work. In fact, until I moved into the heart of Los Angeles, I don't think I've ever lived anywhere that I could get local channels through an HDTV. I was always just outside of the transmitter range. So your mileage is going to vary on that.
And just for what it's worth, I live at the very outskirts of metropolitan Detroit. So, I mean, I'm in the suburbs, but way kind of on the fringe. And even out here, I can get pretty much every channel with the antenna as long as it's kind of positioned near a window. So, yeah, this is something that's worth experimenting with. But for $15 or $20, which is literally what the price of a simple antenna is going to be, that is worth a try. So you've got Pluto for news. You've got an antenna for local channels. Those things are practically free. Dave, what's another really good strategy for somebody who's looking to save money on streaming services?
Well, I think there's one other streaming service we can mention, and that is one that is about half the cost of other live TV services, and that's Philo. Whereas instead of paying, I don't know, $50 a month, Philo is $20. That's a good alternative, right? If you absolutely desperately have to have it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in fact, I've actually had Philo for a few months myself. You're right. It's $20 per month. I think the current channel count is like 58. So it's a pretty decent number. And they have some, pretty big channels available there. They have Comedy Central. They have Food Network. They have a lot of stuff that you really, a lot of people like to watch. There's no live sports and there's no local channels. But here's the interesting thing. And this is just for me. But as I mentioned, I've had Philo for a couple of months. I still kind of miss just channel flipping, like kind of looking through the guide to see what's on right now. And then I just want to throw on some dumb movie that I've seen 10 times and just kind of have it on and just sort of zone out. Your method of doing it where you have an intention, I want to sit down and watch this. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood to do that. But with Philo, for a reasonable amount of money, I can have that experience of just kind of looking at the guide and thinking, oh, that's on, I'll watch that. But here's the thing. I've done this maybe, 20, 30 times in the last month. Every time I flip through that guide, there's nothing on that I want to watch. I mean, nothing. I go through, I go top to bottom and back again. And I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that. So I kind of feel like we're getting past this era of channel flipping.
Oh, for sure. The only other reason that I think Philo is an interesting option is I've started watching, do not judge me, I started watching Belgravia. Have you heard of this show?
I don't know that show.
It's basically, I think BBC only knows how to do one kind of show. It's an upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey knockoff. But instead of taking place in the early 20th century, it takes place in the early 19th century.
Okay.
And it is a carbon copy of Downton Abbey, I have to say. In fact, the music even is very reminiscent of it. But at any rate, I watched two episodes, I think on HBO, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have to actually pay for Epix to get more episodes, which is like $6 or $8 a month. But you can get Epix for $3 as an add-on over at Philo. So I'm actually thinking about it so I can see the rest of the show.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that one out. Actually, as you were mentioning that, I realized that there are two shows that I do watch or that we watch on Philo. And one is Killing Eve, which is on BBC America. And the other is Forged in Fire, which I watch with my son on History Channel.
I saw that when I was over your place last year.
Yes. And those are great. And we would really hate to give those shows up. So that's actually an instance where Philo is kind of worth it. But again, I don't feel like I'm getting ripped off by paying $20 a month. I feel like that's very, very reasonable. And Philo gives you three simultaneous streams. So you're not just limited to watching on one TV or device at a time. Up to three different, people in your household can be watching altogether. So that's a great inexpensive alternative, folks, if you're looking to save some money on streaming.
I feel like we've really done our job this week because we said basically stop doing that to save the money. But if you have to, here's a couple of inexpensive alternatives.
Yeah, and if you'd like to know more about this, I actually wrote a roundup of some of CNET's best save money on streaming advice, some new advice mixed with some existing advice. And the name of that article is 10 Ways to Save Money on Streaming. And we will include the link to that story, of course, in our show notes. So if you want some other recommendations, definitely check that out. And of course, we want to hear from you. Let us know what you're doing now in the face of these price hikes and how you're going to save money on your own streaming. Shoot us an email at cheapskateshow@cbsinteractive.com.
So, Rick, are you waiting with bated breath the way I am for the new Apple Watch to come out in the fall with hopefully new sleep modes and fitness features and stuff like that?
I am not.
Really?
Really? Dave,
but
have
the
we
Apple
not been
Watch
over this?
Is the only reasonable fitness device, isn't it? There's nothing else you can use.
Have we not been over this? I'm not going to spend $400 or $500 on a watch. No.
So do you have a better alternative?
Yeah. So let's move on to a segment we call We Tried It, which is kind of inaccurate because I tried it. I don't think you've tried either of these, Dave.
No, I haven't. I'm still wearing my Apple Watch.
Yeah. So there's two new products that have just hit the market. They are super, super dirt cheap wearables, fitness band and a watch. The first is one I mentioned a couple weeks back. It is from a company called Wyze, W-Y-Z-E, and that's the same company that makes the Wyze Cam, the Wyze Scale, all kinds of really good, inexpensive smart home products. The Wyze Band is their first wearable, and Dave, it's $25.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
You can't make anything for $25. You can't even make Wyze potato chips for $25.
It's really kind of remarkable when you stop and think about it and you start comparing it with other things. Like, you know, you go buy a bag of avocados, $25, you know. So there's that. And then there is the new Amazfit Bip S. And I chuckle every time I say the word Bip because it sounds like a silly made up name, which it is. But you had this watch, the first version of this watch, a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I just ran across it in a drawer the other day, actually.
And you liked it, I think. Did you not?
Yeah, it was a perfectly serviceable watch. So I did like it quite a bit.
So yeah, for years, people have been waiting for like an Amazfit Bip 2 to come along, and it's been a couple years and nothing, but then all out of the blue a couple weeks ago, we got the Amazfit Bip S, which is definitely a direct follow-up, a direct successor to the original, and I was pleasantly surprised because I thought that this being a second-generation version of the product would come in at a higher price, maybe $100, $120, but amazingly, the Amazfit Bip S is only $70, which is kind of remarkable given its feature set. So just real quickly, I want to talk about these two products and which one I think you should buy if you're in the market for any kind of wearable. The Wyze Band is straight up a fitness band. It looks kind of like the low-end Fitbit. It's very narrow. It has a kind of smallish screen. It's a full-color screen, and it is a touch screen, but it's very light on features. Okay, so it will give you notifications from your phone. It will let you know when there's a call coming in. It will track your steps. It even has a heart rate monitor built in, which is impressive given the price. But based on my testing of it over a few weeks, it's trying to be a jack of all trades, but it's definitely kind of a master of none. And I'll just simply say that compared with other Wyze products that I've tested and been really kind of impressed or even blown away by, given the price point, the Wyze Band was a bit of a letdown. And if you want to know more about that, check the link in the show notes because I have a full-on Wyze Band review live at CNET right now, and you can find out more details about what's good and what's not good.
So the Wyze Band is $25. And the Bip S is 70. So what do you think about that one?
70 over 25 is a big price jump, right? But when you compare a $70 watch to, say, an Apple Watch, which starts at $200, and certainly all of the Android Wear watches tend to start at around the same price and rise sharply from there, $70 suddenly looks like a pretty good deal. So the Amazfit Bip S is notable for a number of reasons, not the least of which are it's always on screen, which is something I know that you absolutely love.
Right. I wouldn't buy a watch without one at this point.
Exactly. It has built-in GPS. It has a built-in and upgraded heart monitor, which in my tests worked actually very well, much better than in the Wyze Band. This newer model, the Bip S, has a bump in screen resolution. The previous one definitely was kind of a throwback sort of 8-bit looking 80s arcade screen. This one looks a little sharper, and it has a higher color depth as well, so it's more colorful.
All right, so let me ask, if I could.
Sure.
Clearly, something's got to give. If you're comparing it to an Apple Watch, for example, that's $200 or $300, and this is only $70, it's got all the features. Does that mean that it suffers on build quality? Does it feel cheap, or does it feel like a lightweight piece of plastic that's insubstantial?
It is a lightweight piece of plastic that is insubstantial. You're exactly right. But the thing is, in a way, I kind of like that because when you're wearing it, it's barely noticeable. You know, it's like you could forget you even have something on. Certainly the Apple Watch looks a lot more like a luxury product, and this looks like a cheap kind of plasticky thing, but it does so many things and does them well. It has, you know, 10 sport modes, you know, instead of 4 on the original one. In fact, it can even track your swimming now. The heart rate sensor, as I mentioned, is upgraded. And it even now has Bluetooth music controls. So you can play and pause music and skip tracks and things like that from the watch, which you couldn't do before. So the upshot of this is that for $70, this thing is a no-brainer. It's just, it's a great wearable for someone who is not sure if a smartwatch is for them and they don't want to spend a ton of money to find out. I think my only complaint about the thing is that I just wish they had some nicer color choices. There's black, which looks pretty good, but then there's just like a really kind of sort of ugly looking gray and a green and just a couple other colors that I really find very unattractive. So that's the only place this thing falls down, but I definitely recommend checking it out. And again, I have some material on CNET about the BIP S that I would recommend checking out as well. And let us know what you think of these two watches, folks, at cheapskateshow@cbsinteractive.com.
Hey, Rick, now it's time for our listener question. We have an email from Joe Calamita who asks, I have a daughter going to college and I need to pick up a cheap router for her. I'd love it if I can control it remotely in case she has issues with it. Any cheap suggestions? And then he adds, are there any other good cheapskate deals for back to school college edition? Thanks and love the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. We love that you love the podcast.
We got this a few days ago. My first question was, why does he need a router for her? Since if she's going to school, she's going to be in a dorm. There's going to be Wi-Fi there.
Yeah, a dorm or an apartment is probably going to have Wi-Fi available. So we reached out to Joe for some clarification. Why a router?
Yeah, and so he told us, actually, this makes perfect sense. There is an Ethernet port there in the room, and he just wants to get his own Wi-Fi in there so it'll be more secure.
Which is a great idea, because when you think about it, I don't know if dorm Wi-Fi is as unsecure as, say, coffee shop Wi-Fi, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with setting up your own little private network and making sure it's very well locked down.
Actually, I have a couple of good suggestions for something that he could use for this. I personally love TP-Link routers. I've had several, and there's the TP-Link AC1200. There's a couple of different varieties. There's a dual band. There's a triple band. These things cost $50, $60, and I'll put the links in the show notes. They do everything that Joe needs, including they're all compatible with TP-Link's Tether app. And the Tether app is an app that you put on your phone or your tablet, and you can control all of the router settings and remote control it as well.
That sounds like a good one. Is there another that you might recommend for Joe?
Yeah, I actually really, really like the TP-Links, and they're so affordable that that's where I would go if I was spending money. If you want another option, Asus has a dual-band 2x2 AC1300 router, which, fancy name, again, I'll put the link in the show notes, but this is another $50, $60 router that does all the things I just talked about. It has an app for setup, and you can remotely control it as well. But personally, if I was going to pick one, I'd go with one of the TP-Links. Most TP-Link routers are compatible with that Tether app, so you can remotely control them. Just beware not to go too low down the product line, because I think that there is a TP-Link 300, if I'm not mistaken, the N300. It only costs $17, but don't get that one because it doesn't work with the Tether-Link.
That's a great tip. And one more I would add is that because we're talking about a dorm room here, or even if it ends up being like a small apartment or something like that, range is not a big issue. So you don't need a big fancy router that has, you know, six antennas sticking out of it so that it can reach all corners. even the cheapest router will work inside of the confines of a dorm room. So definitely don't spend a lot of money. But I love the idea of that Tether app. That sounds like it's exactly what Joe is looking for. And Joe, you mentioned also our recommendations for back to school gear. Well, if you'll just give us 1 week on that, that is something we are going to be talking about in next week's episode of the Cheapskate Show. So I hope you and everyone will stick around for that. And in the meantime, if you have any other suggestions for us or you would like us to cover another topic, send your thoughts and questions to cheapskateshow@cbsinteractive.com.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week with more deals and more money-saving advice. In the meantime, you can find daily deals by visiting cnet.com/cheapskate and follow us on Twitter @cheapskateblog or on Facebook @cheapskaterec.
So until next time, everyone, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay cheap.